But faith is our connection to a secure and exciting future. Faith is our connection to a secure and exciting future. Jacob, you do such a good job. I'll give you a break. Thank you. Faith is our connection to a secure and exciting future. And I just want to say, if your life feels a bit unexciting, if your life feels a bit boring, if your life feels a bit ho-hum at the moment, why not think about stepping to a new level of faith? If your life feels a little bit insecure at the moment, I was just talking about stuff that makes people feel insecure. If your life feels a little insecure at the moment, why not step into a new level of faith? Because there is security found in faith in God like you can find in no other place. Let's open our Bibles. Let's have a look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. This is one of those verses, I think you need to underline this. It says, for every child of God defeats the evil world, and it says, and we achieve this victory through our faith. So I was just talking about stuff that unfortunately goes on every single weekend in our cities at the moment. You know, somebody gets the living daylights punched out of them every single Friday night, in Hobart, in Launceston, across this place at the moment. And there's no doubt that's evil. There's nobody that's going to say that's a good thing. That's actually anger. That's the enemy planting seeds of evil and frustration and all sorts of things in people's lives. There is no doubt about that. How do we overcome that? How do we overcome that sort of thing? Do we overcome it by huddling up in corners and saying, isn't that bad? Do we overcome that by passing judgment on the people that do it? I believe that we overcome it. We achieve this victory through our faith. When we actually get strong enough and we get convicted enough in our faith to actually say, I believe God. I believe God can bring about change. I believe God can do something in my city. I believe God can do something in my family. I believe God can do something in my relationship. I believe God can do something down at Salamanca on Friday nights. I believe God can do something across this city. Are we going to be people that choose to step out from where we are and step into faith and say, I believe God? Because if we will do that, if we will be those people, we actually step into an exciting future. We step into a secure future. We step out of the boring day-to-day and we step into the realm that God wants us to live. If your life is boring at the moment, okay, take a step of faith. In fact, take a great leap of faith and step out of your boring life and step into an exciting life that God wants for you. So many of us are wandering around complaining, there's nothing to do, what's going on, when God's actually saying, come on, take a step of faith and get in and start serving me and start to go to the places that I'm calling you. We've got so much opportunity to serve and make a difference. We've got a community in the Derwent Valley that needs reaching. If you think your life's boring, why don't you take a step and get involved with what God is doing and see what is going to happen? It's my challenge tonight. Don't live a boring life, live a faith-filled life. Live an exciting life. Fighting life. If you're born of God, listen to that. If you're born of God, another version says, for every child born of God defeats the world. If you are born of God, you have victory over the world. Let's not forget that. In Mick's case, they might have been able to stick a knife into him, but if he's born of God, a child of God, it means he's got victory over that. You know, people can rip your body up. They can do anything they like to you, but in Christ Jesus, you still have victory. And it's so important to remember that. When somebody's slandering you, when someone's saying all sorts of things about you, when somebody's saying stuff that isn't fair, when somebody's spreading rumors about you around the place, remember that in Christ you have the victory. They can say what they like, but they cannot take away the victory that you have in Jesus Christ. So I want to go through quickly six keys that will help you live a faith-filled life. I'll probably only do five, but I've got six here. So six keys that will help you live a faith-filled life. Number one, decide faith is the substance you need. Faith is the substance you need. When life gets tough, we like to take on substances on board, don't we? When life gets tough, we can self-medicate with alcohol. We can drink alcohol to dull the pain. When life gets tough, we can start smoking pot to escape. When life gets tough, there is a myriad of other substances that we can poke in our bodies to start to change the way that we think and the way that we feel. And I want to say to you tonight, when life gets tough, it's not alcohol you need. When life gets tough, it's not pot that you need. When life gets tough, it's not a whole lot of other prescription drugs that you might be able to put together as a cocktail that you need. When life gets tough, faith is the substance you need. Faith is the substance you need. Pumping something up your arm or dropping it down your neck is not going to change your situation one iota, except for the few minutes that that thing works. Faith is the substance that you need that can change your life forever. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, as it says in Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance that takes you from being a caretaker to a risk taker. Faith is the substance that takes you beyond the natural and places you where all things are possible. Faith is the substance that causes you to see the invisible, touch the intangible, and believe for the impossible. Faith is the substance that induces you to action. Faith is the substance that activates and releases the power of God. Faith is the substance that grasps the unrealities and hopes and brings them into the natural realm. Faith is heart believing, not head. Faith simply knows God is faithful as He promised. Faith comes from the Word. We need to get the Word into our system daily. Faith needs to be fresh. You ask any sportsman. You see, yesterday's faith isn't going to get you through tomorrow's circumstances. The victories of yesterday are not going to get you. You see, Geelong. Geelong got absolutely whipped. Geelong disappointed me. I was sitting down wanting to watch a good game of football and they didn't turn up. Geelong have had 3 years, or 4 years is it, Ryan, have been a fantastic team. They are not going to survive on yesterday's victories. A young team that wanted to win a whole lot more than them, that are a lot younger, a lot faster, blew them away. They are not going to survive on yesterday's victories. Your faith, yesterday's faith, is not going to take you into tomorrow's problems. You need today's faith. You need the now Word of God. You need tonight Word of God. You need God in your situation absolutely now. You don't need what He had before. You don't think, well, I'm going to get Him later on. You actually need God right now in your situation. Faith happens right now. Faith is where you're living at the moment. It's the sort of faith that we need to have. It's not one day I'll be a person of faith. It is God wants you to step into that place right here, right now, tonight, into that realm of faith. Faith is like an additional sense. It's a spiritual sense that comes from the Word of God. The second thing is, I think that we need to believe that your faith is your connection to a secure future. If you're feeling insecure, and I talked about that a little bit before, if you're feeling insecure, let's get faith into our world. Let's start to live by faith. Let's start to believe that God will be with you. I'm not saying that everything is going to change instantly, but it makes a big difference to how you feel when you know that God is going to be faithful no matter what. Faith will keep you in God. It will keep your heart tight and your mind clear. One of the scariest things that can happen when you're boating, particularly in sort of smaller power boats, is for the engine to stop. Especially if you're out in a rough sea with the engine stopped, because very quickly the boat starts to drift. I've been in that situation. Another scary situation in boats is when a boat drags its anchor. And a number of times when I've been diving, we've actually come back to the surface and found that the boat wasn't where we thought it was. And I've had one time where I've actually had to swim after a boat, and another time I've had to get somebody else to take us over to a boat that dragged anchor. You see, as that thing starts to drift, once the anchor becomes disconnected from the rock or the sand or whatever it was on, it starts to go really, really quickly. And what will happen, you see, if you don't have faith in your life, we will actually start to drift. And to start with, we just drift a little bit, but after a while, as you become more disconnected, you start to move, and it starts to actually gain a huge amount of momentum. And it actually becomes a powerless life. I remember this time where we were out off Betsy Island, and we were trying to go cray diving, and it blew up really, really rough. And we dropped the anchor down, and it was just so rough that the boat wouldn't hold on the anchor. So we thought, all right, let's pull. And it was dragging the anchor, and the boat was going very, very quickly back towards some rocks. And we hit the key to start, and it went rrr. It was completely flat. The battery was completely flat. And I remember this feeling as we're looking around at these rocks that are coming up behind us rather quickly. Anyway, we quickly got the cover off the outboard and wrapped a rope around it, and I think we pulled it once and it didn't go. And luckily on the second pull away it went, and Ed managed to just come onto the gas straight away, and we took off before we hit the rocks. But we were only a matter of seconds away from hitting and being pulled up on the rocks. And you see your faith allows you to have a powerful life. There's nothing worse than feeling disempowered. There's nothing worse than feeling powerless. There's nothing worse than being in that place. But if you choose to step into a position of faith, it's like for us, because that battery wasn't being charged, because that battery had gone flat, we couldn't actually start the outboard. You see, if you start to step into that position of faith, when you actually need it, when your life feels like it's about to crash on the rocks, you have actually got a power in your life to make the changes and make decisions where that take you to where you need to go. That is a faith-filled life. Number three, I think we need to develop a faith-filled mouth. A faith-filled mouth. What comes out of your mouth? Potty mouth? 1 Timothy 6:12 says this. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life for which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You see, it's a combination of a believing heart and a faith-filled mouth that can move obstacles. It's a combination of a believing heart and a faith-filled mouth that can move obstacles. You see, some people have got it all wrong. There are some people that have gone around for years, and there was a bit of a doctrine out there that you go around and you name it, you claim it, you say, "Yeah, but I want that. Lord, give me a new car. I'm going to have a new car now. I lay my hands on that car, and that car is going to be mine by the end of this week." And people go away disappointed because the car stays in the car yard and their bank account didn't go up. But it's a combination of believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. You see, if you don't believe in your heart what you're talking about, there's no point saying it. But sometimes I think you know what is truth, you know what is right, and you've actually got to start to speak out the truth with your mouth and allow your heart to catch up. Mark 11:23 says, "If we speak to the mountain with our mouth and we do not doubt in our heart, we'll be thrown into the sea." Romans 10:10 says, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you will be saved." Faith is a combination of what we really believe without doubt in our heart and the words spoken out of our mouth. What comes out of people's mouths sometimes is amazing. Some people, they don't speak bad language, they don't swear, they don't even say semi-naughty words. They say all the right things, but what comes out of their mouth can actually just fill the air with negativity and unbelief, and it can dampen down any atmosphere of faith. Or what comes out of our mouth can actually inspire. It can build up. it can speak words that actually allows our heart to catch up to what we know is true. Do you speak to your problems? I often speak to my problems. And sometimes it's not faith-filled words. I couldn't even repeat some of the words that I've spoken over my problems. But you see, if we're not careful, we actually dampen and nullify the faith that we have in our hearts with the words that come out of our mouths. Be careful to speak true and honest words. It's no use making up ridiculous declarations of faith that you don't believe in your heart. Let's change our focus. Let's speak the truth about a situation until the facts line up with the truth. Now, that might sound an interesting thing to say, but for instance, you might be feeling a bit secondhand at the moment. You mightn't be feeling really flash. What are you speaking out of your mouth? Are you speaking what God says about you? Are you speaking the words out of your mouth that God says you are a new creation? You're not a second-hand creation. You are a brand new creation. You are more than a conqueror. In Christ, you can do all things. Is that what we're speaking out of our mouth, or are we actually speaking the other stuff out of our mouth? Let our mouths be filled with words of faith. Agree with what it says in Joel. It says, let the weak say, I am strong. When we're weak in ourselves, he's strong. See, number four, point four, it says, I think that we need to speak and think about ourselves as God sees us. Speak and think about yourself as God sees you. We've got to speak in the right tense. Listen to Romans 4:17. It says, this is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I've made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead to life and who brings into existence, listen to this, what didn't exist before. What did God say to Abraham? He said, I have made you a great nation. When did he say, I've made you a great nation? He said, I've made you a great nation when Abraham was an old bloke and Sarah was pretty old too and they didn't have any genetic offspring whatsoever. And God is saying, I have made you a great nation. How can God actually do that? You see, there's a reason that he can do that. And that's because God is not limited by the present. Our future is actually God's past. Have you thought about that? Our future is God's past because God is outside of the realm of time and space. He is not limited by time and space. He actually, we can't think much outside time and space because that's where we live. But God is totally outside of the realm of time and space. So our past is actually his future. And he can actually speak about things. When you get a prophetic word, when God starts to stir something up in you, you actually start to speak about the future as though it is. And that's because God's not limited by time and space. And he starts to give us little glimpses of what it's like to live outside of time and space. And that's what the faith walk is all about. It's about us not being limited by our circumstances. It's about us not being limited by time and space. It's about us not being limited by all those things that are around us and starting to think more the way that God thinks because he's not limited by time and space. Abraham was a realist. He knew that his body was as good as dead. He knew the physical facts. But faith took him beyond the reality of the present into the realm of the future. And God can take you right here tonight out of your current realm into the realm of the future. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that you're thinking, that isn't going to happen. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Let's believe that God will take us out of where we are and start to give us a glimpse of where he's taking us, a glimpse of what he's doing in us. And even if that glimpse is, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and I will always be with you. that glimpse might be. He who has begun a good work in you will see it through to completion. Let's get a glimpse of what God is wanting to do. Let's remember that our future is His past. When you come to God, He sees your future as clear. It's a bit foggy to us because we don't live in that realm. But let's get before God and let's allow Him to take us into that faith realm. Number five, let's allow the breath of God to change your name and your destiny. You see, God put an H in Abraham and Sarah's names. Before that, they were Abram and Sarai, and He changed their names to Abraham and Sarah. Now, it's interesting in the Hebrew that God's name was Yahweh. And the way that the Hebrew people said it, there was such fear and reverence for the name of God that they didn't actually like to say it. And they actually used to breathe it. It was more like Yahweh. They probably didn't even go that much. It was a breathe syllable. And you see, and it's interesting, isn't it, that God actually put the H's in Abraham's name and Sarah's name. It was like he actually took somebody, he took a situation, and he put His breath on their lives. He actually breathed His power. He breathed His spirit into their situation. And I just think more than ever tonight, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to breathe into our situation. God is wanting to put His H in your situation. He mightn't be wanting to physically change your name, but there's some of us here that we've got to allow Him to change our name. There are names that we've been using for ourselves. There have been names that we've been thinking about ourselves. And tonight, God is wanting to change those names. He's actually wanting to say, you don't call yourself that name anymore. You don't call yourself devalued. You don't call yourself stupid. You don't call yourself ridiculous. You don't call yourself those things. You actually call yourself a child of God. You call yourself a son and daughter of the Most High God. You call yourself a prince or a princess of the kingdom of God. He's wanting to move you from that place. He's wanting to change your name tonight. And that's what He did to Abraham and Sarah. He actually changed their name. He didn't only change their name, but He breathed a future onto them. He's wanting to breathe a future into people's lives in this place tonight. He's wanting to breathe His spirit, and He's wanting to breathe the way that you think about things. He's wanting to breathe an inheritance into lives here tonight. Some of you perhaps think you can never have an inheritance. You can never have. Some of us, it's like you think, well, gee, I couldn't have physical children. For others of you, it's like, gee, I can never own a house. Maybe I'll never have the resource to be able to help somebody else. God is wanting to change that. He's wanting to breathe on you tonight. He's wanting to breathe. Mario and Helen, I just think God is wanting to breathe. He's wanting to breathe in your situation. He's wanting to breathe in your family. And as you guys stand and you say, we believe God, you're already seeing Him starting to do things. You're already seeing things starting to happen that you didn't think. And there is, I just believe that some of the things that you're thinking, wow, that could never happen. I think the first step right now is just to allow God to breathe onto those things. Is allow the breath of God to start to come into them. And he's wanting to change some things. He's wanting to change some things that particularly I'm just thinking with you, Helen, at the moment, that there's some things, and I don't know what they are, but you probably know, but He's wanting to actually change. He's wanting to rename some things in you, some things that when you're really honest, you think about, and it's God, He's wanting to say, well, I've given you a new name. You don't think that way anymore, because I am bringing you into a new day and a new presence and a new way of thinking. And yeah, Mario, as you take on some of those challenges that are in front of you, just allow the breath of God to breathe life into them. Breathe life into them. There is life that is coming. There is life that's coming. The true breath of God is still coming on lives, and it's changing names and it's changing destinies. Can we have the band to join us, please? I want to finish with these thoughts. I can give you point six. And point six is if we want to move to that position of faith, Let's get hold of the fact that we haven't been given a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Isn't that amazing? You see, the children of Israel, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. And it was basically because they didn't believe. They got to a point where they could have walked straight into the promised land. They were there, and many of you know the story. They sent two spies into the promised land. And two of them came out with faith-filled mouths. Two of them came out and they started to speak about what could happen. They started to speak about the fruit that was in the land, and they started to speak and say, "We can take this. We can go into this place. We can move into this place." And ten of them had mouths that were so negative. 10 of them had mouths that said there are giants in the land. 10 of them were saying, "You didn't see what we saw there." And they actually caused people to become so fearful, people to become so afraid that they chose not to believe. And the only thing that God could do with them was send them back into the desert for 40 years till a whole generation died, till every single one of those doubting mouths was no longer there. So that when they came back to go in again, there was a new generation of people with faith-filled mouths. Let's not be the generation that wanders for 40 years. Let's not be the generation that is actually on the precipice of going to where God wants us to do, but perhaps we allow the mouths of a few to change the future of many. Let's see it the other way. Let's see the combined mouths of a few in this church and across this city to change the future of many out there. Let's have faith-filled mouths. I'm not talking about making stuff up. I'm not talking about not being real. I'm not talking about not acknowledging that the truest, most authentic faith is a faith that is real. It's able to say, "I have had a crappy day today, but I believe God. But I believe God. But I believe God is still with me. But I believe God won't leave me. But I believe God is coming through." Romans 8:15 says, "So you should not be like cowering slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, adopted into his calling, where you say, 'Father, dear Father.'" Come on, let's stand.